The Gospel of Isaiah, Chapter 10. God our only refuge and strength. Know you this, O you peoples, and be struck with consternation, and give ear to it, all you of distant lands, gird yourselves, and be dismayed, gird yourselves and be dismayed. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught, speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For thus said Jehovah unto me, as taking me by the hand he instructed me, that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say you not, It is holy, of everything of which this people shall say, It is holy, and fear not the object of their fear, either be terrified. Jehovah God of hosts, sanctify him, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be unto you a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, to the two houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and shall fall, and be broken, and shall be ensnared, and caught. Bind up the testimony, seal the command among my disciples. I will therefore wait for Jehovah, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, yet will I look for him. Behold I, and the children, whom Jehovah has given unto me, for signs and for wonders in Israel, from Jehovah God of hosts, who dwells in the mountain of Shaun. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto the necromancers and the wizards, to them that speak inwardly, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Should they seek, instead of the living, unto the dead? Unto the command, and unto the testimony, let them seek, if they will not speak according to this word, in which there is no obscurity. Every one of them shall pass through the land distressed and famished. And when he shall be famished, and angry with himself, he shall curse his king and his God. And he shall cast his eyes upwards, and look down to the earth, and lo, distress and darkness, gloom, tribulation, and accumulated darkness. In studying this lesson, let each one use diligently both the King James and the Revised Version, in connection with the translation that is given here. There is quite a variation in the wording, but to the thoughtful student this will be a help instead of a cause of confusion. The different renderings, when carefully and thoughtfully compared, will only serve to give a broader view of the message of God. Different verbal renderings mean, not contradiction, but fullness. United for evil. Associate yourselves, O you people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all you of far countries, gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Make an uproar, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. And give ear, all you of far countries, gird yourselves, and be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and be broken in pieces. We can readily see how the rendering, make an uproar, is consistent with, associate yourselves. A crowd is likely to make an uproar. The heathen rage. Notice that the people are not commanded to associate themselves together, or to make an uproar. This will be seen from the context. Even though they associate themselves, and rage against the Lord and his people, they shall be broken in pieces. It is a vain thing that the heathen imagine, when they set themselves against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. Instead of breaking, they will be broken. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This being the case, it is evident that no one can withstand God. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. He rules over the kingdoms of the heathen, and in his hand is power and might, so that none are able to withstand him. Therefore, fight not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. God cannot be overthrown by his own power turned against him. This is the comfort of the people of God in times of persecution. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught, speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. In the French of Seguin this reads, Form projects, and they shall come to nothing, give orders, and they shall come to nothing, give orders, and they shall be without effect, for God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sons of God. God is King of kings. He makes his servant his firstborn. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then you spoke in vision to your Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. This is spoken to the seed of David. Christ was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. But as his flesh is ours, we share his exaltation. God raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And we are raised to sit with him. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, winky face, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Nothing to fear from man. God's people, therefore, have nothing to fear from man, or from any combination of men. If they are indeed his, they have a position higher than that of any earthly king. All nations may be arrayed against them, but they can accomplish no more against those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High than they can against the Almighty himself. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You have thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. It is true that earthly rulers may put some of God's people to death, even as they crucified Christ, but even so they cannot prevail against them. Christ conquered when he went into the grave. One man who knows the Lord, and the only way we can know him is to have him dwelling in us, is stronger than all nations combined. His authority is greater than theirs. This is the fact. Unfortunately, there are so many Christians who do not know their rightful place. The fact that God's people have a place higher than the kings of the earth does not make them defiant. They are not to use their authority against men nor governments, but to help. Indeed, as soon as they assume a defiant, dictatorial attitude, they lose their power. Their strength is the strength of meekness. God clothes his people with his own kingly authority, in order that they may properly represent him as ambassadors. Paul, brought before the Roman governors, preached the gospel to them, and the man in chains caused the man on the throne to tremble. No safety in man. People confederate for the purpose of maintaining or executing some project which they think is right. So the translation which we are following has. It is holy. We shall get the sense, however, better, if we follow the common or the revised rendering. A confederacy, or a conspiracy. God would not have his people become bound up in any worldly compact. Ancient Israel were forbidden to make any league with the inhabitants of the land. Even so, now they are not to be members of any human organization whatever. The Church of Christ, of which he is the direct head, provides for every want. Benevolent associations, so-called, are not needed by Christians, for the Church is that. A little reflection will enable anybody to see that these associations are selfish, and so opposed to the gospel of Christ. It is not because God would have his people exclusive, that he tells them to make no league with the people of earth, and not to unite with any worldly society whatever for protection or help. No, it is because he would have them save the world. When his people unite with the world in any organization or society for mutual help or protection, they thereby disparage him, who is the only real help. They give the world the impression that the Church of Christ, nay, Christ himself, does not afford sufficient protection and help. They put themselves in the position of dependence upon men, instead of occupying the position of benefactors, which God designs that they should hold. They are to give to the world, even to kings, and not to receive from them. A true child of God, poor and unknown, is better able to offer protection to an earthly ruler than the government is to protect him. This being so, how much more does it apply to all smaller combinations of men? In ancient times, anyone who acknowledged God could join his people. Even so it is now. The Church is God's kingdom. All may come into it, who are willing to have Christ reign over and in them. And God's people, instead of being exclusive, must mingle with the people of the world, even going out into the highways and the lanes to find them, to do them good, and to invite them to come and share the blessings of God's house. But how dishonoring to the God whom they profess to serve, when they, finding that danger threatens, seek protection from those whom they are sent to deliver. There are many societies organized for the purpose of helping men temporally and spiritually, of improving their physical and moral condition, and they all do more or less good, but that is no reason why the Christian should join them. He must not oppose them, but let them do all the good they can. But he must know that he, as a member of Christ's body, has a field of operation and a power for good, infinitely greater than they have, so that to join them would narrow his efforts. The glorious gospel is the sovereign remedy for all human ills. Therefore lift the standard high, and do not let it be confused with anything else. The secret place. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Compare with, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, either be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The only place of safety for any man is the secret place of the Most High. But we abide in God only when he abides in us. When God is set in the soul temple as supreme, he himself is the sanctuary of the soul. Then the man has a hope of which he can give a good account. It is a living hope. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. But God is a kind and compassionate father, as much more tender with his children than any earthly father is with his children, as he is greater than man. Earthly fathers have love for their children, but God is love. What a blessed position to be in, when the only thing in the universe to be afraid of is God, who is love. He loves men, even sinners, but hates sin. He is terrible to nothing but sin. When he is our fear, the result is the destruction of sin. The only dread we need to have, with respect to God, is the dread of displeasing him. And when we fear to displease him, so much that we will trust him, and yield to his ways, he will give us the testimony that we please him. Behold, I and the children whom God has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Who says this? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold I and the children which God has given me, and it will at once be seen that Christ is the speaker here. I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Has God hidden his face from us? So he did from Christ, yet Christ saw him again. Not long ago one said to me, God has forsaken me. Very well, said I. That is just what Christ said. Ah, but, said the other, God had not cast him off. Indeed he had not. And since all that he suffered was for you, and in your place, you may be just as sure that he has not cast you off. No matter how much God seems to hide his face, if we go through the dark experience with Christ, we may be confident. Of all overcomers it is said, they shall see his face. Signs and wonders. But what about the signs and wonders? That is a most glorious prospect. It presents the most marvelous possibilities before believers in God. I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders, says Christ. That is, we ourselves are classed in with Christ. It is not merely that we are to do signs and wonders, but we are to be them. All the marvels of the man Christ Jesus are to be reproduced in all who are men in Christ. The world is to wonder at Christians just as much as it did at Christ, and for the same reason. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here we have the same stumbling block as in our lesson. Thank God that the stumbling block is the sanctuary to believers. This stumbling block is the sign. It is Christ crucified. You will remember that Christ said the Jews should have no other sign than his crucifixion. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. He gave them the most wondrous sign that could be given, and they stumbled at it. God's people are to present the same sign to the world. When the death and resurrection of Christ are fully manifest in their lives, they themselves will be signs greater than any miracle that they could perform. Let the sign, then, the sign of the cross, shine out. The remaining verses in this chapter were quoted for the sake of the connection, but will be left for special study till next week. When Jesus sent out his disciples to preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Again, just before his ascension to heaven, he said to his apostles, You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Unless power accompanies the message, it is not the gospel. That which makes God's message to the world a gospel, or glad tidings, is that it brings the power which is so much needed. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In the Church of Christ there must be seen the working of his own mighty power. Unless this is true, his people do not bear witness to him. Any power short of the power of God does not reveal him to men.